Today on Tristan Storytime, an apple pie is sure to make your mouth water as the alphabet appears and does something with the pie. Then a young girl named Cinderella meets a charming young prince at the ball. Next, it's a battle between the birds and the beasts, but a bat appears and it could very well turn the tide, followed by a singing game called The Farmer in the Dell. And finally, Isaac Watts shows us all how busy a little bee can be, and it'll be perfect to listen to, with your honey that is. Those stories and more, next. Hello everyone, and welcome once again to Tristan Storytime. I'm your host, Tristan Gardner, and I'm certainly glad you could join me today. We've got some great stories picked out, and I want to extend an invitation to use your imaginations as I read them. So without any further ado, let's get the show on the road. In other words, on with the stories! Today's picture book story is going to be a little different, because there isn't going to be any singing. However, it will be short and sweet, and deliciously entertaining. Not only that, this will be educational. And the reason why it's delicious is because it features an apple pie. And the reason why it's educational is because it will feature all 26 letters of the alphabet. And the reason why it's entertaining is because all 26 letters will do something with the pie, whether it's something good or something bad, whatever that means. Truth told, when I was growing up, I remember hearing this nursery rhyme on one of my favorite computer games called A Silly Noisy House. I hope you're hungry, because here is the story. And it's also a nursery rhyme. And it's one I like to call, A Was an Apple Pie. Could I have a drum roll, please? A was an apple pie.
Yummy!
B bit it. C cut it. D dealt it. E ate it. F fought for it. G got it. H had it. I inspected it. J joined it. K kept it. L longed for it. M mourned for it. N nodded at it. O opened it. P peeped in it. Q quartered it. R ran for it. S stole it. T took it. U upset it. V viewed it. W wanted it. X, Y, Z, and ampersand all wished for a piece in hand. That was so good, I'm in the mood for a second helping. I hope you are too. Let's go for run two, a little faster this time. Drum roll, please.
A was an apple pie.
Yummy!
B bit it. C cut it. D dealt it. E ate it. F fought for it. G got it. H had it. I inspected it. J joined it. K kept it. L longed for it. M mourned for it. N nodded at it. O opened it. P peeped in it. Q quartered it. R ran for it. S stole it. T took it. U upset it. V viewed it. W wanted it. X, Y, Z, and ampersand all wished for a piece in hand.
That was fun, but it's time to move on. Tristan Storytime will continue in a moment. It's not always easy, but I always do my best to be kind. However, there are people who might not be so kind because they weren't treated kindly when they were growing up. I think this would be an opportune time to read this classic fairy tale, Cinderella, or The Little Glass Slipper. Many years ago, there was a gentleman who had a charming lady for his wife. They had only one daughter, who was very dutiful to her parents. But while she was very young, her mother died, to the grief of her husband and daughter. After a time, the little girl's father married another lady. Now this lady was proud and haughty, and had two grown-up daughters as disagreeable as herself. So the poor girl found everything at home changed for the worse. But she bore all her troubles with patience, not even complaining to her father. And in spite of her hard toil, she grew more lovely in face and figure every year. Now the king's son gave a grand ball, and all persons of quality were invited to it. Our two young ladies were not overlooked. Nothing was now talked of but the rich dresses they were to wear. At last the happy day arrived. The two proud sisters set off in high spirits. Cinderella followed them with her eyes until the coach was out of sight. She then began to cry bitterly. While she was sobbing, her fairy godmother appeared before her.
Cinderella, said the fairy, I am your godmother, and for the sake of your dear mama, I have come to cheer you up. So dry your tears. You shall go to the grand ball tonight, but you must do just as I bid you. Go into the garden and bring me a pumpkin.
Cinderella brought the finest that was there. Her fairy godmother scooped it out very quickly and then struck it with her wand, upon which it was changed into a beautiful coach. Afterwards, the old lady peeped into the mousetrap, where she found 6 mice. She tapped them lightly with her wand, and each mouse became a fine horse. The rat trap contained 2 large rats, one of which she turned into a coachman, and the other into a postillion. The old lady then told Cinderella to go into the garden and seek for a 6 lizards. These she changed into 6 footmen, dressed in the happiest livery. When all these things had been done, the kind godmother, touching her with her wand, changed her worn-out clothes into a beautiful ball dress, embroidered with pearls and silver. She then gave her a pair of glass slippers, that is, they were woven of the most delicate spun glass, fine as the web of a spider. When Cinderella was thus attired, her godmother made her get into her splendid coach, giving her a caution to leave the ball before the clock struck 12. On her arrival, her beauty struck everybody with wonder. The gallant prince gave her a courteous welcome and led her into the ballroom, and the king and queen were as much enchanted with her as the prince conducted her to the supper table, and was too much occupied in waiting upon her to partake in anything himself. While seated, Cinderella heard the clock strike 11:15. She rose to leave, the prince pressing her to accept an invitation for the ball on the following evening. On reaching home, her godmother praised her for being so punctual and agreed to let her go to the next night's ball. Although she seemed to be tired, her sisters, instead of showing pity, teased her with glowing accounts of the splendid scene they had just left and spoke particularly of the beautiful princess. Cinderella was delighted to hear all this and asked them the name of the princess, but they replied nobody knew her. So much did they say in praise of the lady that Cinderella expressed a desire to go to the next ball to see the princess. But this only served to bring out their dislike of poor Cinderella still more, and they would not lend her the meanest of their dresses. The next evening, the two sisters went to the ball, and Cinderella also, who was still more splendidly dressed than before. Her enjoyment was even greater than at the first ball, and she was so occupied with the prince's tender sayings that she was not so quick in marking the progress of time. To her alarm, she heard the clock strike 12. She fled from the ballroom, but in a moment, the coach changed again to a pumpkin, the horses to mice, the coachman and postillion to rats, the footman to lizards, and Cinderella's beautiful dress to her old shabby clothes. In her haste, she dropped one of her glass slippers and reached home, out of breath, with none of her godmother's fairy gifts but 1 glass slipper. When her sisters arrived after the ball, They spoke in terms of rapture of the unknown princess and told Cinderella about the little glass slipper she had dropped and how the prince picked it up. It was evident to all the court that the prince was determined, if possible, to find out the owner of the slipper. And a few days afterwards, a royal herald proclaimed that the king's son would marry her whose foot the glass slipper should be found exactly to fit. This proclamation caused a great sensation. Ladies of all ranks were permitted to make a trial of the slipper, but it was of no use. Cinderella now said,
"Let me try. Perhaps it may fit me."
It slipped on in a moment. Great was the vexation of the two sisters at this, but what was their astonishment when Cinderella took the fellow's slipper out of her pocket. At that moment, the godmother appeared and touched Cinderella's clothes with her wand. Her sisters then saw that she was the beautiful lady they had met at the ball, and throwing themselves at her feet, craved her forgiveness. A short time after, she was married to the prince, to the intense gratification of the whole court. I think we can all learn to be better people after hearing this story, don't you? And the moral of this story is, kindness will be rewarded, whereas selfishness will not. I just love reading stories, don't you? You're listening to Tristan's Storytime. If you were to make an alliance in a battle of creatures, would you side with the birds or would you side with the beasts? Would you truthfully stay on that side? Well, the reason why I said truthfully is because some new creatures have come into the fray and have been known to be deceitful. They have wings like birds, but they aren't birds at all. And even though they have teeth like the beasts, they aren't beasts either. In fact, these creatures are nocturnal, meaning they're active at night. You've probably seen them in dark caves, and you'll see why once I read The Birds, The Beasts, and The Bat by Aesop. The birds and the beasts declared war against each other. No compromise was possible, and so they went at it tooth and claw. It is said the quarrel grew out of the persecution the race of geese suffered at the teeth of the fox family. The beasts, too, had cause for fight. The eagle was constantly pouncing on the hare, and the owl dined daily on mice. It was a terrible battle. Many a hare and many a mouse died. Chickens and geese fell by the score, and the victor always stopped for a feast. Now, the bat family had not openly joined either side. They were a very politic race. So when they saw the birds getting the better of it, they were birds for all there was in it. But when the tide of battle turned, they immediately sided with the beasts. When the battle was over, the conduct of the bats was discussed at the peace conference. Such deceit was unpardonable. And birds and beasts made common cause to drive out the bats. And since then, the bat family hides in dark towers and deserted ruins, flying out only in the night. You've probably figured this out by now, but the moral of this story is, the deceitful have no friends, and that's definitely no cause for celebration for the bat. I remember all those times in my preschool days when we would sing The Farmer in the Dell, where we sing about the farmer, his wife, the child, the nurse, up until the very last line, which is the cheese, which always stands alone. So I figured we should revisit this nursery rhyme and sing along to it. It's a great song to sing along to, and it'll test your memory at the same time. So what are we waiting for? It's time to sing along to The Farmer in the Dell.
The farmer in the dell, the farmer in the dell. Hi-ho the derry-o, the farmer in the dell. The farmer takes the wife, the farmer takes the wife. Hi-ho the derry-o, the farmer takes the wife. The wife takes the child, the wife takes the child.
Don't go away. Tristan Storytime will continue. Have you ever heard of the saying, busy as a bee? Well, it happens when you've been doing something productive every waking hour of the day, like cleaning the house, or gathering apples, or in a bee's case, honey. Now that I've mentioned it, you know, honey, I think this would be an opportune time to read this timeless classic, and one which, I hope you'll agree, will be tasty. It's simply called, How Doth the Little Busy Bee, or known simply as, The Bee, by Isaac Watts. How doth the little busy bee improve each shining hour and gather honey all the day from every open flower? How skillfully she builds her cell, how neat she spreads her wax, and labors hard to store it well with the sweet food she makes. Hey, that doesn't rhyme, does it? In works of labor or of skill, I must be busy too, for Satan finds some mischief still for idle hands to do. In books, or work, or healthful play, let my first years be passed, that I may give for every day some good account at last. Some of you may not realize this, but here's a lesson we can all learn from that little busy bee. Sometimes, when we work hard and gather honey, we must be as courageous as the bee, so that we can all live our lives as happily as possible. On the next Tristan Storytime, a peacock proudly goes to the fair to show off his feathers. But his feathers and his big beak get him into very big trouble. Then, in Sleeping Beauty, a princess falls asleep for 100 years after pricking a needle on a spinning wheel, and it's up to a prince's first kiss to wake her and the entire kingdom up. Next, a frog seeks to harm a mouse for his dastardly dinner plans, followed by the ever-so-popular song you can do with your fingers, The Itsy Bitsy Spider. And finally, the Tristan Storytime Poetry Corner presents Spring at its Finest, as we go about it with love, romance, and daffodils in I Wandered Lonely as a Cloud. Those stories and more next time on Tristan Storytime. Well, that just about wraps things up for today, but before we go, I want to remind you of a few last-minute pieces of information that I think you should know. First of all, if you enjoyed listening to this episode, there are plenty more exciting episodes on any of the podcast platforms you chose today. Also, you can follow Tristan Storytime on any of the social media platforms where you'll find video clips of stories I read on past shows every Thursday at 4 p.m., and you can find it all on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. In addition, you can find Tristan Storytime on Discord. And as you've noticed, music and sound effects will be included with every story I read. Every day, we're always finding new ways for all of us to grow together. Oh, and one last thing. If you have a classic family-friendly story idea that you'd like me to read on a future show, such as a picture book story, fairy tale, a fable from Aesop, or a poem, just send an email to TristanStorytime@gmail.com. That's TristanStorytime, all lowercase, @gmail.com. And that's without the apostrophe. Well, it's time for me to go, but I'll be back again soon. So until next time, I'm Tristan Gardner. Thank you for listening, and God bless, my friends. And remember to keep using your imaginations, because I use mine to help you use yours. Today's stories and nursery rhymes are A Was an Apple Pie, taken from The Nursery Rhyme Book, edited by Andrew Lang, illustrated by Leonard Leslie Brook, published in 1897 by Frederick Warren and Company. Cinderella, or The Little Glass Slipper, retold and illustrated by George Routledge and Daniel Appleton, published in 1865 by George Routledge and Sons. The Birds, the Beasts, and the Bat, taken from the book The Aesop for Children by Aesop. Pictures by Milo Winter, published in 1919 by Rand McNally and Company. The Farmer in the Dell, originally published in 1820. Music arrangement by The Green Orbs. The Little Busy Bee by Isaac Watts, taken from the book Pleasing Poetry and Pictures for the Mind and the Eye. Published in 1849 by Sidney Babcock.